He is a good God. Hallelujah. Regardless what men may say, He is a good God. Hallelujah. I apologize for the overhead this morning. Our bulb went out. We got a whole new casing, whole new bulb, put it in, and it tells us the life of the bulb is up. So if I have any techie people in here this morning that know how to fix projectors, ours needs something. I don't know what it is. So I do apologize for that this morning. Amen. So if you didn't know the words, I hope you just made up your own. That's what Pap would do. He'd just make up his own words. He didn't need to know the words. Just make up your own words. It's all worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I also want to thank everyone for your kind words and your notes and gifts and things for pastor's appreciation. We certainly appreciate your thoughtfulness to us. You're an awesome body of believers, and I can't imagine being anywhere else, so I bless you for that, and I thank you for that, and we thank you for that. Amen. Hallelujah. I also want to thank my daughter Beth for ministering for me last Sunday while I was in Canada. Amen. And that was a blessing. I told him, Canada, the only thing that would keep me from not being here today is being there to hear her. But if I were there, she wouldn't be speaking because she's speaking because I'm here. So that was what kept me in Canada instead of here to hear her minister and support her and to also hear the song that she wrote. So I'm a very proud mama this morning. And so I knew you were in good hands. Amen. Hallelujah. We had an awesome time in Canada and the women's conference there. I bring greetings from Chief Wood, Pastor Phil and Linda Salt. God is good in Canada. It's the same God there as He is here. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for His faithfulness to us. I'm thankful for the Word, the presence of the God that was there. It was a great meeting, and I'm certainly thankful for that. Amen. I'm so thankful for the goodness of the Lord. They sang that song, not knowing, but right on cue of where I wanted to go this morning. So I'm going to talk about the goodness of God this morning. Can anybody attest to the goodness of God in your life today? Hallelujah. Has God been good to anybody in this house today? Hallelujah. That you can say the faithfulness and the goodness of God. Hallelujah. The scripture that song kind of comes out of is Romans 2 and verse 4. It says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Do you know that it is the goodness of God that leads to repentance? Hallelujah. So many times we think it's the anger and the wrath and the fierceness of God, you know, the hellfire and brimstone that's going to bring people to repentance. But, you know, the fear and things that sometimes we use to manipulate people is only a temporary thing. Amen. You can scare people into getting saved. Amen. You can scare people into turning to God. You can scare people into, you know, submitting themselves to God. But how many know that only lasts until the fear wears off? And then you forget about it, and then you go about your way. But how many know the goodness of God is what leads men to repentance? It's what leads men to change their mind. It's what repentance means, to change your mind or to change your way or to change your bent or to change from something, but not just change from something, but to change to something. Hallelujah. How many know when I repented, I didn't just change from something. I changed and turned to something, to Jesus Christ, who is my Savior. Hallelujah. So it's the goodness of God. And can I tell you, after all these years of being saved, it is the goodness of God that has kept me saved. It's not the fear, it's not the hellfire and brimstone or whatever that keeps me saved, but it is the love and the goodness of God that has led me to repentance and keeps me keeping on. Amen? It's what keeps me where I'm at. And so I'm thankful today for the goodness of God. And I want to go to Psalms 34 this morning and start there. Title of my sermon, I have two different titles. So we're going to see where it goes to, and then I'll tell you what to title it when I'm done. How about that? Hallelujah. But I'm going to start in Psalms 34. Hallelujah. And I think what I'm going to title it is Temporary Insanity. Hallelujah. You all laugh, so I know you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. So we're right in there. Everybody knows where we're going, right? Amen. I'm going to go to Psalms 34. And this is a scripture I'm working on for another service also, but I spent some time yesterday studying on this, and there's a whole lot of different ways that I can go through this. But let's just start in Psalms 34 in chapter 1. Hallelujah. And again, we don't have the overhead, so I'm going to read it to you. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How many know this is David writing this psalm? Okay? He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Humble also means the distressed or the depressed or the downtrodden shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Now that scripture in and of itself is just a good old comforting scripture. Amen? I mean, I've used many of those scriptures many different times in different scenarios, not necessarily all connected, but in my Bible, I got yellow marks and blue circles and pencil writings and underlinings all through that chapter in Psalms 34. How many know that's a good, uplifting psalm to read? Yeah. Hallelujah. And it's written by David, who wrote this psalm. Now, here's the thing. We're going to get to this in a minute. But David writes this psalm when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. And we're going to get to this in a minute. But how many know this? The scripture there is just David saying, starting out and saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Do you believe it's possible to bless the Lord at all times? And for his praise to continually be in your mouth. Yes. Amen? It's possible. Amen? Now, I have said to you, you can't complain and whine and praise at the same time. Do you believe that? Yes. Hallelujah. You can't be cursing and speaking in tongues at the same time. Right. You got to either speak blessings or cursings out of your mouth. Amen? But David said, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. How many know our soul makes its boast in the Lord? Our soul is our mind, our psuche, our realm of thinking. Hallelujah. And how many know David had to talk to his soul from time to time? If you go through the Psalms, you'll see he would say, why are you cast down, O my soul? So hope thou in the Lord. And so he would give himself a talking to from time to time. Amen. Anybody in the house ever had to give yourself a talking to? My soul is going to make its boast in the Lord. How many know you have to sometimes speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs? Sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you got to talk to your soul and say, soul, why are you cast down? Why are you doing this? Why are you in such despair? Your hope is in the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Go ahead and bless the Lord, soul, and all that's in within me. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Every now and then, you just got to bless the Lord. You got to talk to yourself. How many know sometimes it's just good to talk to somebody on your level? Sometimes it's just good to talk to somebody who understands you. Amen. Hallelujah. So sometimes you got to have a conversation with yourself. I don't recommend it in a crowd, but when you're in your car going down the road and you just want to have a good old talk with yourself, you just go right ahead. Hallelujah. But when you do it in public, people frown on that, or they draw conclusions and opinions of that, and they even have medication for that. Hallelujah. But I mean, no, David knew it was a trigger. It was a secret. He said, my soul's going to make its boast in the Lord. The humble is going to hear thereof my boasting, and they're going to be glad because I'm a boast in the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Now, what I love about this psalm is David writes this psalm when he fakes insanity or temporary insanity. So go with me to 1 Samuel 21, but you can keep your finger in Psalm because I think we're coming back there. Hallelujah, because we're going to read it again and in the light of where he's at when he writes it and what he's saying. 1 Samuel 21. Now, I don't know why, but the Lord has had me in this part of the book for quite a while now. And the story of David, and you'll know, you'll recognize some of it in a minute, and maybe some more from our Wednesday night Bible study, but also in here, where the Lord has had me in sermons connected with the life of David in this particular season of his life. And so in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10, it says, and David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, is not this David king of the land? Did they not say one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? How many know David is having a moment of temporary insanity? He is down in the land of Gath. Anybody remember where Goliath was from? Goliath of Gath. I mean, the scripture says, for fear of Saul, David goes down into the land of Gath and into the presence of Achish, and he's trying to hide out from Saul. I mean, there is no place in all of Israel that he can hide out from Saul, who is his enemy right now. And so he goes to the enemy's camp to think he can hide out in the enemy's camp there. Only what happens when he gets down into the camp of the enemy knows more about him than he thinks they knew, and they start singing a song about David. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. And so what they're doing is saying, do you know who is in our midst? Do you know who is in our company? That's nothing more than the man who slew Goliath. That's nothing more than the whole reason Saul is chasing him. The whole reason Saul is after him is because they began to sing about David. Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. And jealousy rose up in Saul. And from that time, he began to pursue David. So here is David in what we would call between a rock and a hard place. How many know he can't go into Israel because they're looking for him there? He goes down into the camp of the enemy, but he can't hang out in the camp of the enemy because the enemy already knows all about him. Can I tell you this morning that the enemy knows all about you already? He knows that you can do miracles if you believe. He knows you got mountain-moving potential inside of you. He knows you're a giant slayer. Hallelujah. If you've seen the thing on Facebook lately, it says, live as if when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil says, oh, shucks, she's up. Yep. Amen? And I believe we can live in a realm of victory that we don't have to go in and out of a life of victory. Do you understand what I'm saying? Where we live in a place where we're not up one day, down the other, up one day, and down the other. How many know there's victory in Jesus? Do you believe that today? Hallelujah. And there's more in you than you know. And so what happens is David is down in the camp of his enemies. And when he realizes that they know who he is, he has a moment of temporary insanity. Can I tell you this morning that your insanity is temporary? Now, don't raise your hand, but anybody in here ever had those moments where you're just having a moment of temporary craziness? So we got some honest people in here. We just got some. And sometimes it seems like it's not so temporary. Like everywhere you look, it's just crazy on every level. Anybody ever? It's just crazy on every level. And I've seen some stuff lately and walked through some things. This is just crazy. This is just crazy. And you know, Dan and I say all the time, honey, are we crazy? And everybody's normal? Or is everybody normal and we're crazy? Because something here is crazy. Amen. You just have those moments where you're having some craziness. Now, maybe you slobber on yourself. Maybe you scratch the doors. Maybe you, I don't know how you act when you're crazy. But how many know sometimes it gets pretty ugly when you get a little crazy? All right. And so here is David in the midst of his enemy, and they're singing his praises. Can I tell you, the enemy knows how powerful you are today. When they got ready to come spy out the land, and the spies were in the land, they come into the house of Rahab the harlot, okay? And she says to them, this is profound to me, where have you been? We have heard of your God on the other side, and we've been knowing you're coming to possess this land. Where have you been? But how many know she had more of a revelation of what God had promised to them than the 10 spies who went in and spied out the land and said, yeah, man, it's a land of milk and honey, and it flows with milk and honey. But you know what else I saw there? There's giants there. And they said, and we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. And so we were in their eyes. But how many know Joshua and Caleb said, oh, no, 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 no. That's my land. That's a land that flows with milk and honey. There was some giants there, but what I saw is my possession, my promise. And, you know, in fact, before Joshua and Caleb went in to spy out the land of and the promised land, they went by Hebron. And Hebron is the cave of Machpelah. It's the place where all the patriarchs were buried. And I just believe there was something about them that said, you know what? I know the promise from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and what God has promised to us. And so when I go in to see that land, I don't see anything except the promises of God and what God has provided for us. And I don't see myself as a grasshopper. So many times we view ourselves less than what we really are, and so we limit ourselves to what we accomplished. They didn't say we were grasshoppers in their eyes. They said we saw ourselves as grasshoppers. Hallelujah. But Rahab the harlot was more convinced of their victory over Jericho than the spies were. Hallelujah. And so here is David in this place where he's slobbering on himself and he's faking insanity. Now, you can either say he's having a momentary, temporary insanity, or he's a very good actor. Either way, it works for him. Amen? And so what, but what happens is while he's there, he writes Psalms 34. He gets a revelation. Hallelujah. He gets a revelation of Psalms 34 while he's in the company of his enemy, and it gets him out of there. He flees out of there. Now, you know from the stories that I've been preaching later that the next step that he takes is the cave of Adullam. But the stop preceding his moment of temporary insanity is the moment when he goes down to Abimelech, the priest, and he's on the run from Saul. And he said, do you have any weapons here? And he asked him if you have any food here first. And he says, well, all I got's the hallowed bread. All I got's the showbread. All I got's the bread of his face. How many know what you're feeding on is what you have strength to walk in? How many know we in the scripture, they would eat bread and they would go on the strength of that bread for 40 days. How many know there is strength in consuming the bread of his body and the blood, his table of sacrifice for us? How many know that is the strength that you go in? You are what you eat. Hallelujah. And first of all, he ate the hallowed bread and the showbread. But then he says to the priest there, he said, do you have any weapons? And he said, we don't have any weapons here except the sword of Goliath. He said, I'll take it because there's no other sword like it. Yep. Hallelujah. Now, can I tell you that, I've been asking this around, there's no place that I know of, and maybe Dr. Lynn can help me with this, there's no place that I know of that David ever uses the sword of Goliath. No place that he takes that sword. How many know it wasn't about using the sword, it was about the reminder of a past victory of who I am. Hallelujah. Saul may be in pursuit of you. It may look like things aren't panning out the way they were supposed to. How many know David is the anointed king over Israel? When Jesse lines them up, they don't even bring David in. And he said, don't you have any more sons? He said, yeah, just the little guy, and he's out keeping the sheep. He said, well, bring him in, because we're not sitting down until God anoints king in your house, and God told me there's a king in your house. Hallelujah. And so when he brings him in, he said, this is the next king of Israel. Hallelujah. How many know he's the anointed king? But it was not at that moment that David steps into kingship. Dad sends him back out with the sheep. And I love that. How many know just because you've been anointed for something doesn't necessarily mean you'll step into this moment, but if you'll be faithful in everything that God has called and purposed you to do, he will bring to pass what he's promised in your life. And I don't care how much it looks like it's going astray. I don't care if it looks like you missed it. I don't care if Saul is in hot pursuit of you. I don't care if you're on run for your life. If God promised it, he will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. His promises are yes and amen. And his anointing, he does not change. Hallelujah. And so David finds himself on the run. I mean, this is the guy who kills Goliath, cuts off his head with his own sword, and he's on the run from Saul. And he comes into the house of Abimelech, and he said, is there any weapon here? And he said, nothing. He said, but you know what I do have? I got the sword of Goliath. Hallelujah. How many know that's an aha moment? That's a moment when then David says, you know what? I was born to be king. And I just can't wait to be king. I'm a giant slayer. I got it in me. I forgot who I was for a moment. I had a moment of temporary insanity, and I forgot who I was. But the purpose and plan of God in my life has never changed. Hallelujah. So somewhere between that house of the priest and why he's down in the land of his enemies in Gath till he gets to the cave, that sword is in his possession. Hallelujah. Now, it may not have been nothing more than a reminder for him to lean on and say, I remember the day when God gave me victory over Goliath. Hallelujah. And so he goes from there into the cave of Adullam, and you know the story. He's hiding out in the caves in the clefts of the rock about 2 miles from the place where he killed Goliath with a slingshot. See, what I love about God, we've been studying the book of Judges on Wednesday night. God uses the craziest things to bring about his purpose. If you look at all the weapons in the book of Judges, there's no Scud missiles, there's no bombs, there's no deer rifles, there's no 22s. There's not even normal weapons. He uses things, Sister Wilder, like an ox goad, a farmer's paddle, and a jawbone of an ass, and a pitcher, and a light, and a trumpet, for heaven's sakes. Like, who goes into battle with those kind of things? God takes the simple things to confound the wise. How many know God uses the most unlikely characters to bring about his perfect plan? I know God has a sense of humor. Me standing here proves to me that God has a sense of humor. And then he can take the craziest things and bring about his purpose in our lives. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. And so here he is. He's in the cave of Adullam. And while he's in the cave, you know, you'd think God would send you somebody to lift up your spirits and to, you know, pull you out of the place where you've been in. But how many know he says he's in the cave with 400 men who are discontented, discouraged, and in debt and downtrodden? That is one of the biggest pity parties in the Bible. Hallelujah. It's the ultimate man cave full of 400 men in a bad mood. Amen. Now, I told you before, the only thing worse than 400 men in a bad mood is 400 women in a bad mood. There you go. Guys, I saved you on that one. Amen. Hallelujah. I only say that because I'm a woman. But how many know he's in the cave with people who are in despair and discouragement and down and out and in debt? One major big pity party. Hallelujah. How many know if you are in a moment of insanity, are you in a moment of craziness, or you're in a moment of despair, you got two choices. You can either join the party, blow up the balloons, hang out with all of them, or you can be an atmosphere changer and change the atmosphere in the place where you are. I mean, in the cave, David writes another psalm, and it's Psalm 57. And what he says basically in Psalm 57, he says, wake up, harp. Wake up, lute. Wake up, lyre. Wake up, you old sleepyhead son. In other words, wake up, David. Wake up, David, to who you are. Before you were ever king, before you were ever a giant slayer, you were a worshiper. And if you'll wake up the worshiper inside of you, get your harp out, dust it off, get it down off the willow tree. If you'll wake up the worshiper inside of you, you will find out that I was born for more than this. Hallelujah. I was appointed and anointed. I was destined and purposed for more than what I'm walking in right now. Anybody in the room said, you know what? I'm anointed and appointed for more than where I am right now. And I'm not going to let any moment of temporary insanity or craziness in my life deter what God has purposed and meant for me to do. Hallelujah. Can I just tell you, every one of us have those moments of craziness. Hallelujah. Few of you are honest in the house. And for some of us, those moments are more frequent than others. Can I say that? Hallelujah. But how many know in the midst of your despair, in the midst of your struggling, and I'm not saying this morning that they're not real. How many know there's some real things? David's got himself between a rock and a hard place, and it looks like things are falling apart on every side. And it seems like they're not lining up with what the prophet had to say. And it seems not like it's not looking like I thought it was going to look. And it just seemed like this was not in the vision that I had when he said, you're going to be king. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many know there's some things you got to walk through? Yeah. Hallelujah. There's some things that come your way. But my mom always said, you can let a bird fly over your head, or you can let him build a nest in your hair. How many know some things just got to fly on by? You got to let them go. Hallelujah. You can't live in that moment and think that's everything. Hallelujah. And if you think you can go back and go to live in that land of craziness, you're going to find yourself spitting and slobbering and running around trying to figure out who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know there's some things you can't go back to? There's some things that are not true of you. There's some things, there's some places you don't belong. Can I say that this morning? There's some places you don't belong. Yeah. Hallelujah. You're anointed for more than that. You got purpose in you. You got potential in you. Hallelujah. And so he goes to the cave of Adullam and he writes another song, Psalms 57. And he says to them, wake up harp, wake up lute. And he starts to wake up the worshiper inside of him. Hallelujah. And he starts to wake up the word of God in him. And he starts to remind himself of the faithfulness of God. And he starts to remind himself of the promises of God. How many know out of these two chapters, he's already written at least, he wrote three psalms out of these two chapters. Psalms 34, Psalms 56, and Psalms 57. Hallelujah. When I loved, one of the things I loved about last Sunday when Beth was here, she sang a song that she wrote. And that was a prophetic word to her that came during our conference, that there was a prophetic anointing on her to write songs. Now, she could have waited for years and years and thinking, well, when's it going to come? When's it going to come? When's it going to come? But you know what she did? She went home and wrote a song. You know, sometimes I think we sit on the promises of God and think, well, it's going to come, it's going to come, it's going to come, it's going to come. And God's saying, it's there, it's there, it's there. Just go ahead, just go ahead. I mean, no, sometimes you got to get up and step into what God's anointed you to do. And as you step into what God's anointed you to do, you learn how to flow in that anointing. And it becomes more powerful. And it becomes more greater as you begin to develop what God has put in you. Hallelujah. You know, I said before, the harp of David probably was way more powerful than the sword ever was. Amen. Hallelujah. Your praise and your prayer. Rocky said it already this morning. Your praise and your prayer is way more powerful than you know it is, Rocky. Hallelujah. We have the power in this earthen vessel, the power and the anointing of God that lives and resides in us. It's more powerful than we know. Hallelujah. And if you can't praise yourself out of it, find somebody who can. Amen. If you can't praise your way out of it yourself, hook up to somebody who's got some praise in their lips and praise in their heart and connect to them until they can bring you out of the place that you're in. Hallelujah. How many know we have the ability to change atmospheres? Danny Phillips said it like this. You can be a thermostat or a thermometer. How many know there's a big difference between a thermostat and a thermometer? Am I right, Tom? A thermostat can tell you, the thermometer can tell you the temperature in the room. But the thermostat has the power to change it. And so you must choose whether you want to be a thermometer or a thermostat. If you can be an atmosphere changer. And the words of our lips, the scripture says the power of life and death is in our tongue. To speak life or to speak death. Hallelujah. How many know we can use that in a whole lot of ways? That tongue is that unruly member. Hallelujah, that sometimes creates that craziness, you know, that we live in sometimes. How many know sometimes you have got to bridle that tongue? It may be absolutely the truth. Hallelujah. But how many know the way you speak, the way you administer, the way you activate words are powerful. Hallelujah. And there's a way you can say the same thing in the right tone and in the right season that will bring life and not death. Amen? Hallelujah. How many know sometimes in the middle of a heated argument, it's probably not the time for you to say some of the things on your mind. Amen? How many know, because sometimes once they come out, you can't get them back in. No matter how hard you try. Hallelujah. But our words... And don't raise your hand, but anybody in here ever said something thinking, man, I wish I had just not said that? Because you can't take it back after it's out. And sometimes it cuts in ways that is more powerful than you know when you say it. Hallelujah. So what an opportunity we have to speak life into situations, life into people's life, speaking a word of encouragement or a word in due season that will bring life to somebody. Somebody said something to me not too long ago and says, and I remember something you said one time, and I thought, whew, I'm glad that was a good thing. Because I wonder sometimes how many things I remember that I've said that maybe not were a right word in due season. You understand what I'm saying? So our words have power, and people remember what we say. So how many know David had to start speaking some things in the cave? And he started writing some things, and he started saying, wake up. Wake up, David, to who you are. You don't belong here. And your insanity is temporary. Can I tell you this morning that your craziness is temporary. Whatever you may be going through in this moment, in this time, in this season, it is a temporary thing. It is a temporary insanity. It might be a moment of craziness, but there's more in you than you know. The enemy already knows your song. Saul slayed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. How many know, even in the camp of his enemies, he didn't believe in himself, but they knew the power that was in David. Hallelujah. And they started to sing that. Hallelujah. Your momentary craziness does not change God's mind about you. Hallelujah. You ever been in a situation where it's almost to the point you're thinking, how is the world still spinning in my moment of crisis? Where you think everybody else seems like they're okay, but things are not okay in my world. Hallelujah. It's temporary. It's a momentary thing. Hallelujah. I mean, no, David is in this place with the sword of Goliath in his possession. It says, are you crazy? Have you gone mad? You do not belong here. Your enemy knows you are a force to be reckoned with. Hallelujah. And your Philistine might be anything that challenges your anointing. But can I just tell you this morning, there's no refuge in Gath. He went to the cave of Adullam, and the cave of Adullam was called the place of refuge. How many are glad that he is my refuge, my fortress, my God? In him will I trust. Hallelujah. So in those moments of our craziness, when we're going through all of that stuff, Dr. Phil would say, how's that working for you? Hallelujah. Because when it's all said and done, you're still going to have to come up out of that place. Amen. How many know Elijah had a moment of temporary depression? Jonah did. Jonah sitting under the gourd. God speaks to Jonah and says, doest thou well to be angry, Jonah? How's that working for you? That's where Dr. Phil got that. How's that working for you? Doest thou well to be angry? Hallelujah. How many of you know when the widow's barrel was empty and the prophet came to her and said, while you're up, fetch me a little water and bring me a cake that I might eat. She has a momentary craziness. She says, man of God, don't you know there's been a famine in the land? I got a little bit of meal and I got a little bit of oil and I'm gathering two sticks that me and my son can eat this and then we're going to die. Hallelujah. I mean, no, if death is your only next thought, that's a moment of temporary craziness, temporary insanity. But the man of God said to her, you go ahead and give me oil, and you go ahead and give me meal. Hallelujah. First, and your barrel won't go dry. How many know you better believe that God's speaking? It's one thing to give away your next meal, but it's another thing to give away your child's next meal. Hallelujah. How many know when she began to respond to the voice and the man of God, the scripture said her barrel never went empty and her cruse never went dry until God sent rain upon the earth. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes it may seem like there is no answer in sight, but God's got your back. He's got you under control. Hallelujah. Go back to Psalms 34 with me. And let's read it again in light of who wrote it and what setting now that he wrote it in. David writing it in the place and the moment of his temporary insanity. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3, one of my favorites. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. How many know to magnify the Lord is to make everything else look smaller? When you magnify something, you make it bigger. And the bigger you make God, the smaller everything else is, or everything else looks. Amen? Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me, what? From all of my fears. Hallelujah. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. That's David writing this in the place that he was in. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Do you believe that there's angels encamped round about you this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. Do you believe there's angels encamped round about your family? Yes. Hallelujah. Do you believe there's angels encamped around about you in your situations of your daily life? Hallelujah. When the servant went out, he said, alas, my master, what shall I do? Because the host of the Syrian army was encamped around about the two of them. Hallelujah. But the prophet began to speak to his vision and said, Lord, he didn't speak to the enemy. He spoke to his vision and said, open his eyes that he might see. And he said, when his eyes were open, encompassed round about the whole Syrian army was the host of the heavens that were encamped round about them. It may be true that your enemy has you surrounded. It may be true that it don't look good at what you're seeing right now. That may be true. But how many know it's our vision and how we perceive it, that when we begin to look beyond what we see with our natural eyes, we realize God's got something way more powerful in the works than what we even know. Hallelujah. You see a temporal, momentary thing, but there's a whole host that you didn't see. Hallelujah. There's a whole bigger picture. I say all the time, there's a bigger picture. There's a bigger picture than what I see right here, right now. My perception of the situation I'm in has to change. And when it changes, I realize I'm not in this by myself. Hallelujah. That I'm encompassed around with so great a cloud of witnesses. Hallelujah. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. That was the other title of my sermon, by the way. But how many know, I was looking at that scripture yesterday thinking about taste and see that the Lord is good. And what I thought about is when to taste something is, you know, is to develop an appetite or to be hungry for something, to taste, to sample, to savor. Amen. And how many know it says taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. We started out saying, singing, you are good, you are good, your mercies is forever. How many know he is a good God? But what if we're not careful, what we have done is not created a taste for or a desire for something, and we put a bad taste in people's mouth because we preach God as being angry and hateful and revengeful and all those kind of things. The scripture says God is good. And the goodness of God leads men to repentance. How many know it is our responsibility to create a taste for something that is desired? If I said to you this morning, one of my favorite things to have, and we've done this before, is hot, fresh, baked, homemade bread. Amen? They ought to make candles that are that smell. They should make perfume that smells like hot butter bread. Aftershave that smells like homemade bread. I mean, there is a fragrance or a smell that comes from homemade bread that you don't have to ever even eaten it before, but you start smelling it and you're going to desire it. Now, once it comes out, I don't want it to get completely cold. I want it a little bit warm where it's almost gummy when you go to pull it apart. But I like fresh homemade butter, real butter, not that margarine stuff, on it. I want some fresh melted butter on that bread. And then if you like homemade applesauce or apple butter, you put a little bit of apple butter on it. Or I love strawberry jam. And Arlene's homemade jelly is to die for. So you put a little bit of that jelly on that bread. I don't need beans with it. I don't need chili with it. I don't need anything else. However, if it's left over in the morning, I want a little bit with my eggs. I'm going to have some homemade bread with my eggs. Amen. And so it's not good till it runs down a little bit of that butter runs down your chin while you're eating it. And so... Hallelujah. And if it's not quite raised good enough yet and you're hungry now, you go ahead and pinch off a chunk and you fry it in the pan and you call it hoe cake. And you can put some butter and some cinnamon and sugar on it, or you can put some jelly apple, but you don't have to put anything on it because it'll stand alone all by itself. I'm telling you, it is drop-dead delicious kind of stuff. Amen? Hallelujah. Anybody in here not hungry yet? So here's the deal. What I'm doing is creating for you an appetite of something. Now I've put a thought in your head. Now your belly's starting to growl a little bit because you're hungry for something. I want the gospel that I preach, Andy, to just be like homemade bread with butter and homemade apple butter on it. Then when people start to hear it, they're going to say, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. I want to create an atmosphere every place I go that says, I got to have me some of that. My belly's growling for it. You already put the thought in my mind. Everything about me now wants homemade bread because you have created an appetite for that thing. I want to preach a gospel that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is a good God. I have been distressed lately. I read things online. Can I just tell you, everything on the internet is not the truth. Hallelujah. And I read stuff on there of craziness, of people putting stuff on there, and they connect it to my God. And they say that's the way my God thinks, or the way my God acts. And we want to link Ebola to Obama or something like that. And I want to say, my God don't act like that. He doesn't flow like that. My God does not destroy a country of Liberia because He doesn't like who you think should be president in the United States. Can I tell you, God's not an American. God loves Liberia as much as He loves me, and He's a good God. And I refuse to preach a gospel that puts a bad taste in people's mouths. I want to tell you He's a faithful God. I want to tell you He's a strong God. I want to tell you that He's a God who is a healer. I want to tell you He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I want to tell you today He is a good God. And I want you to taste and see that He is good. You know how I know He loves homemade bread? He told them He did. He said, I am that bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they are dead. I am that true bread. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is a good God. I got saved making homemade bread. And if I preach about homemade bread, it's just all right with me. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no one in them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lip from speaking guile. Depart from evil. Do good. Seek peace. Pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Come to the piano, Beth. Hallelujah. Your insanity is temporary. Hallelujah. Your moment of craziness is temporary. Hallelujah. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. He is a good God. He is a faithful God. Hallelujah. We must preach a gospel that creates an atmosphere and an appetite and a craving and a hunger and a desire that draws people that says, man, I don't know what that is, but I got to connect myself to it. Hallelujah. If you've never tasted of his goodness, if you don't know him as your personal Savior, if you've never experienced that this morning, I want to tell you, there's nothing like it. Hallelujah. I wouldn't live my life any other way than in his goodness and his mercy, because even in my bad days, hallelujah, he's still good. Yes. Amen. Amen. Even in my bad days, he's still good. Yes. Even in my struggles, in my crisis, he's still good. He's faithful to me. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. You can just